As the late Arthur Godfrey would say, how are you, how are you, how are you? Hello there, welcome to this edition of Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr. Yes, sir, friends, how are you today? It's wonderful to be with you out here on ACB Radio or whatever we happen to be on, radio reading services throughout the world. I've had some of my East Texas friends over who talk like this all the time, so I'm kind of in that mode, you know how I talk like. You can ask an East Texan, what's the difference in ignorance and indifference? And they'll tell you, I don't know, and I don't care. Anyway, Blind Like Me is our show today, and we're glad you could join us. We're still on in our less adequate, our auxiliary studio in using our old mixer, little 8-channel mixer, and some other old junk equipment that we came up with. They're delivering, however, the new control console, the new 24N 8-out Mackie board today. But that guy called me from up north of us and said that it would be along sometime this afternoon, so I guess they'll deliver it. And once I finish this, I will start tomorrow to install said console. And it's an all-day job, but it's nothing. I mean, it's not anything a guy can't do. This is the fourth time, I think I mentioned it, that I've done that this year. So I ought to know how. That's right. We should know how. Anyway, we appreciate all the email. Our email address is blindlikeme@txucom.net. That's blindlikeme, all one word, at TXU, T as in Tom, X as in X-ray, U as in United, txucom.net. There's no dot between the TXU and the com. Just blindlikeme at txucom.net. That'll get us our attention, and we check that every day. We do have email backup. We don't have the DSL backup. We do have a dial-up. We're on dial-up connection. I can't figure out how to close it, so I just unplug it every time. It works as good as any, doesn't it? Anyway, we're back up on the dial-up. I don't know why we didn't think of that before, because that would have worked all the time. We just put in the password, and bingo, we were dialed up and back on the Internet. So we're checking email. And don't forget about the cruise, and we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes. Right now, let's get to the business of the day. See if this guy's ready. All this edition, too, of Cooking in the Dark. Dale, how are you, sir?
Doing fine, Mr. Parr. How are you doing today?
I'm really good. I really liked your slogan. Let's see. You don't have to have sight to cook dinner tonight.
That's right. We made a trip down to Kima at the waterfront, and we've got some fresh jumbo shrimp right off the boat that are just aching to be boiled and prepared for us. I'm going to also do the special red sauce to go with the shrimp, kind of a family secret recipe. So, Mom, if you're listening, sorry, but I'm letting the cat out of the bag. We're also going to be doing twice-baked potatoes and a Jell-O salad to top it all off with.
All right, full meal.
Full meal. So, I guess for the shrimp, we want to run down the recipe. What we've got is I'm just going to boil about 5 pounds of shrimp. That's what I'm set up for. When I was these shrimp are headed but not peeled. Now, I've got some shrimp also that I've got on some that we're going to put on skewers to grill, and also some that we're going to make some shrimp brochettes with. Those are headed, and they are peeled and deveined. When you go to head them, it's not that hard. When you go to buy the shrimp, you can buy them either with heads on or heads off, and it's up to you. Just weigh the difference out. But when we were down there, I took advantage of the trip down to Kima, and I did end up buying about 15 pounds of shrimp. So I headed all of those, and it took me less than 10 minutes to get them headed and put back in the freezer, the ones that we aren't using to save them for another day.
And so you bought them with heads on.
Yeah. The price, boy, shrimp season is in down here, so we paid $5.25 a pound for jumbos, which are roughly, they're about 16 to 20 counts. So that means there's about 16 to 20 of them to make up a pound of shrimp.
That's a good size shrimp.
They're a great size. I got them a little larger just because of the shrimp brochettes, and they were out of the large. Large were selling for $4.75 a pound. So it's just feast. We're feasting right now.
So these are jumbos.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jumbos. They are headed. They had the heads on. You know, the headed shrimp were about $3 more a pound, and I just wasn't going to pay it. It's not that big a deal to head these guys. For the twice-baked potatoes, you're going to need four large, and when I say large, a little larger than normal, I mean bigger than your hand, baking potatoes, russet potatoes, half a cup of milk, about a quarter to a half teaspoon of salt, a quarter cup of chives, and if you don't know what those are, I'll help you. We'll get those figured out here in a second. You're also going to need about a cup to a cup and a half of cheese, cheddar cheese, mozzarella cheese, whatever you want, but have it grated, or you can even buy it in the package at the grocery store, shredded really fine.
Or you can grate it yourself.
Or you can grate it yourself. Got a food processor, that's great. There's a wonderful drum grater on a Blind My Smart that makes grating pretty easy. It has three drums that will allow you to select the fineness or the texture of your grating from coarse down to a real fine grating. And then also on this recipe, we're going to add in two cloves of garlic already peeled. And then we're going to press it in a garlic press to really get that flavor out. As far as the Jell-O salad goes, all you need is a large container. I believe it's a 16-ounce container of Cool Whip. And two boxes. Now, these are the small boxes. Get two small boxes or one large box of Jell-O in whatever flavor you would like. What we're using is the gelatin that's strawberry banana. So with that in mind, I think we're ready to go.
Well, all right. Now, what are we doing first? We're going to...
Well, I tell you what I'm going to... I'm going to wash the potatoes first and get them in the oven. The potatoes...
Okay.
One thing with these potatoes, you need to bake them. Basically, you're going to wash them, preheat your oven to 450 degrees. You know, wash them off, put them in the oven, and just let them bake for about an hour to an hour and a half. To check them to make sure they're done to the way we want them, you want them to be, the skins to be a little bit tough. When you touch them, hit them with a fork, it'll take just a tad bit of effort to get through the skin. You want the skin to remain kind of hard. Because what we'll do is after the potatoes are baked, we take them out, let them cool for a little bit, 10 or 15 minutes, and so you don't have a hot potato in your hand, because, man, they will burn you. Slice them in half, and then we want to scoop out the pulp, scoop out the inside of the potato into a bowl.
Okay, but our first project is washing them and getting them ready to bake. Now, do you stab them with a fork? Do you pierce them?
No, I don't in this case, just simply because... I want this shell to remain kind of intact and get kind of hard. Stabbing them with a fork, you know, that's a great idea to help let out some of the pressure and stuff, and let out some of the moisture to help them bake a little bit faster.
Yeah.
But in this case, we're not poking them with a fork. Now, through the time-lapse radio, the potatoes are done.
Oh, you've already done those?
Yeah, potatoes. I've already baked the potatoes.
I don't want to belabor this.
I've got them sliced in half, and I've taken the pulp out of some of them. Also, at the same time now, I've got water boiling for the shrimp, and I've also got water boiling for the Jell-O. So before I get into the potatoes, I am going to go ahead and get the Jell-O ready so I can get it in the fridge and let it start chilling a little bit. The Jell-O salad, once you mix the Jell-O up, it needs to chill for about 15 or 20 minutes. start to get a little bit firm, and then after it starts to get firm, go ahead and we'll add the Cool Whip to it, and then just blend it, whip it with a mixer. And that's all there is to it. It comes out kind of like a whipped Jell-O salad. It's really delicious.
Did you actually bake these in the oven, or did you cheat and do them in the microwave?
No, I did them in the oven.
You really did them in the oven?
Yeah. Doing them in the microwave, it's kind of hard to get the consistent, you know, get the shell, the outer, the outer part of the potato, the peel, kind of tough and hard like we want.
Okay, but if you were going to eat them as baked potatoes from the oven, you would have stabbed them with a fork to let some of that pressure off.
Yeah, I probably
would have
stabbed them with a fork. Actually, if you want just baked potatoes, if you don't want to go on with the twice bakes, after they've been in the oven, they're done.
That's right.
You know, pull them out, add your sour cream, cheese, chives, whatever you want to add to them.
And at that point, if you do the fork trick, you want them to be, you want the skin to be soft.
Yeah, you want the skin to be a little bit soft.
If you're going
to
eat them as a baked potato.
Yeah, and in fact, instead of baking them at 450, you might want to just bake them right around 400.
Uh-huh.
And then the same thing with the fork trick. If you can stick a fork in and it goes in and out really easily, then, yeah, they're done.
Like our chicken last time.
Right, right.
All right, but what we're talking about is piercing them before you bake them. If you're gonna bake them, be sure and do that and let that pressure off. But you've already got them baked.
Yeah, I already got them baked.
Okay.
What I'm doing with the Jell-O right now is I'm adding... Jell-O is so simple to make. If you get a small package, it's one cup of boiling water. To that, you add one cup. You add the gelatin into the boiling water, into the hot water.
I love these sound effects. They're good.
One cup of cold water after the gelatin is dissolved in the hot water.
Okay. So you're two cups of water to one package of Jell-O, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. If you use the bigger box, it's two cups of water, you know, hot water, then the gelatin, and then two cups of cold water.
All right.
So there is a quick set method that was listed on the box, and that entails after you get the water added, you can add about 6 to 7 ice cubes. And that's supposed to help it cool and set a little bit faster.
Now that would be instead of the cold water.
Yeah.
Just add the ice cubes.
Water.
And so that would help it. Now we're gonna do that. We're gonna stick this in the fridge and let it set.
Yeah, I'm gonna let it set. What I'm doing is grabbing my measuring cup right now. I'm gonna add the cold water.
Okay, because you've already added the hot and stirred it, so it's all dissolved.
Right.
Okay.
So, all right, we've got the Jell-O in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Now what I've done, I'm going to take my last potato here I was saving for the show. And basically, I'm just slicing it right in half.
Now this one is already baked.
It's already baked.
Through the magic of radio.
Through the magic of radio. Time-lapse radio, it took less than...
It's amazing. How do they do that? So we're slicing it in two. Just make half. Two half potatoes.
Just cut it. Yeah, slicing it in half. Now I'm taking a tablespoon, or any, you know, a teaspoon, it doesn't matter.
Whatever.
And just gently cleaning out the inside of the potato, the pulp of the potato, into a bowl. Now I've already got the other potatoes already cleaned out and in here, but if you just kind of gently, the potato will just come right out because it's already cooked and really soft.
So we want only the shell left.
Only, yeah, we just want the skin left of it. And yeah, leave a little bit of, you know, if you get it all out, great. If you go too deep and go through the potato skin, that's okay too.
But
be
you
a little more careful on the next one. But
you want to try to not do that, yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of feel the, with the spoon, you can kind of feel where the skin of the potato is. And everything just kind of just falls right out. I'm just taking it again and just kind of carving. I just kind of carve around the inside, around the peel of the potato.
And then lift it out.
And then just kind of lift it out. And then afterwards, I just kind of scrape it down, scrape it out just a little bit. And it is done. There we go.
All right, and you've got several others that are done.
Yeah, I did. This recipe calls for 4 of them. What's nice is the 4, when you split them, it actually becomes 8.
Yeah.
And what you don't serve with dinner, if you're cooking for 2, 4, or more, just wrap them up in the freezer in some foil, and they keep wonderfully.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll come back and fill them, okay?
Sounds great.
More Blind Like Me in just a minute. Be right back. We'll be right back.
information you'll probably never need. Titillating tidbits to make you think on the blind side. Here's Don Patterson.
George Shearing was born in London, England in 1919. He was the youngest of nine children born to working class parents, and George Shearing was blind. His music abilities were apparent early on, but it wasn't until he attended a school for the blind for 4 years that he received any formal music training. His teacher at the time said about him, "No need to teach George how to read music. He's going to be a jazz player." Well, George Shearing didn't disappoint him. His talents earned him a college scholarship, but his parents' poor financial situation forced him to go to work instead. And for the 10 years following his 18th birthday, George Shearing honed his skills in the nightclubs of London, England. His efforts would win him that country's highest music award, and he would be named Great Britain's greatest pianist. When he emigrated to the U.S. in 1947, however, he found a completely different situation. He was virtually unknown in the United States, and jobs were very hard to come by. But his 1949 recording of September in the Rain would change all of that. This recording featured the newly assembled George Shearing Quintet and introduced the world to the now famous George Shearing sound. It sold 900,000 copies, and George Shearing's second career was on its way. Mr. Shearing is in his 84th year now and still performs. It is said that he is equally comfortable on a concert stage, performing with full orchestra, or on a bandstand playing with a small jazz combo. Mr. Shearing has recorded numerous albums and is credited with the writing of more than 300 songs. His composition of Lullaby of Birdland is an international jazz standard. He has received numerous awards, including two Grammys for his work with singer Mel Torme. He holds two honorary doctorates and is a recipient of the prestigious Horatio Alger Award. He has entertained three sitting presidents and did a command performance for Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip. George Shearing, one of this world's great music treasures. On the Blind Side, I'm Don Patterson.
On the Blind Side, answering questions nobody asks.
Shrimp, and we've got, let's see, shrimp and twice baked potatoes, and what else?
Twice baked potatoes and a wonderful Jell-O salad.
Jell-O
salad.
Very light,
refreshing, especially on a hot summer afternoon.
Which we have already in the refrigerator.
Yeah, the Jell-O is set in the refrigerator, so here in a little bit, it should be, I'll check it in about another 15 minutes.
And what we've done here is these twice baked potatoes, we've baked them in a conventional oven at 450.
Right.
And for an hour or so, a little more.
Yeah, that's about 60 to 75 minutes.
And we've got them, and we want the skin to be a little tough on them. We don't want to completely bake them. In other words, we don't want them done, and don't stab them with a fork. So we have these potatoes, and he's cut them in half and scooped out the pulp, or the in. Well, you wouldn't go. Maybe that's not a good word, but everybody knows what we mean.
Yeah, inside out the inside of the potato into a bowl, and now we're ready to. Basically, we're going to whip them down. You mix them up now, and actually kind of turn them into like a mashed potato, if you will. So what we're going to do now? We've got the potato pulp in a bowl. To that, I've added half a cup of milk. I'm also going to add about a half a teaspoon of salt. And this can be added just to your flavor, your taste.
Or just
pick
up.
Don't put any salt in it. Don't put any salt.
Pick up your shaker and shake a little bit in there and stir it up.
Yeah. And the same with the milk. Now, depending on your potato size, you may want to add a little more milk to make them a little creamier. You might want to leave them a little lumpy. That's kind of up to you. So what I've started with a half a cup, and I'll start whipping them up here, beating them, and we'll just see where we go from there.
And we're going to do this with a whisk or a spoon or a mixer?
I'm going to use a mixer.
A little hand mixer.
Yeah, the lazy man, the way out, I guess.
Now, this is a hand mixer or one on a stand or what?
Yeah, it's a hand mixer.
Little hand mixer. Everybody should have one. If you don't, run to the store and buy one.
Right. Hurry, hurry. We'll wait for you.
Well, you need one. Everybody needs one of these.
Yeah, these are so handy. Be it, I tell you, this tool and the other thing that I think is just, I don't see how people don't have one, is a food processor.
I didn't think I'd like one until I bought one. And my God. Here we go. All right, here we go. They were mixing.
I was the same way. I was like, you know, I don't need one of those. I can grate stuff by hand, or I can do this, or
good
whatever.
Man.
Boy, oh boy.
You cook a roast, you want to make some chopped beef, there is no better way to do it than run that meat through that food processor.
That's right.
I even have a small, have a big one with all the attachments, and I have a little one that just has a blade that's just wonderful for onions and things, you know?
Excellent.
It's just, it wasn't, I think it's like $10 somewhere.
Now, you know, I have seen those, or not seen them, but heard of the ones that are, you know, like, is yours battery powered?
Mine is not. It's electric, but it's very small. I mean, it won't do meat, but it'll do onions or tomatoes or olives or anything soft.
Oh, okay.
Just kaboom.
Okay.
You just put an onion in there and whoop, you got chopped onions.
Fantastic.
You know, you got to be careful. You got onion juice if you're not careful. But anything soft that you're cutting up, and then you don't have to, because the big one is kind of hard to clean.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. So how are we coming?
We're coming all right. I'm going to add a little more milk to this because they're still a little bit lumpier than what I want. I want them to be almost the consistency of mashed potatoes.
Okay.
So let me.
Here we go. The old mixer. And one thing you need to remember when you're using a mixer, don't lift it out of the bowl with it running. Because if you do, you will have mashed potatoes all over the kitchen ceiling.
Yes. And I think Candace and my deal might be off if that happened. I think I might be the one cleaning the kitchen.
That might be it, huh?
That or Kelsey would be one happy dog.
She would be. She would be, wouldn't she? Yeah. Yeah, don't lift it out. Turn it off and then pull it out of your whatever you're mixing.
Yeah.
You'll learn a hard lesson there if you don't.
All right. These are looking great. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the cheese. And again, it calls for about a cup of grated cheese. It can be any kind you want. We're using cheddar. So I'm dumping that in the bowl.
All right, and we're going to stir again then. We're going to mix again.
Yeah, I'm going to. This time I'm going to use just a spoon. Let me rinse this one off here.
Okay. Well, of course, you need to use a spoon to tell the consistency, because with a mixer you can't. It's hard to judge.
Yeah. You don't want to be taking them out that way.
Got to be careful, but they're a very handy thing to have. So we're stirring in cheese, and this is grated already, I guess?
Yeah, already grated. Yeah, we bought it that way in the package at the store. I think it's Kraft and all. There's a number of people. Even local grocery stores have their own little brand.
And they sell it in a big Ziploc bag that you can snap, that you can take out what you want and close it up and stick it in the cheese
totally
drawer.
Reusable.
Oh, yeah.
Really a great thing now. Whoever decided to, you know, invented that idea was, they were ahead of the game a little bit.
Now they've even got them where they have that thing that slides along the top and closes it for you. Have you seen those bags?
Yes.
I mean, that's a lazy man.
That's $5 there.
That's $5 stuff.
Technology on the move.
It is. I love it.
Who can build a better mousetrap?
Really?
I'm going to wash my hands off here again. And so this is something I do. I keep a dish towel in my pocket. Just for this emergency, when I need to wash my hands off.
Which is about 20 times while you're cooking.
Oh, yeah. 1,000, yeah.
I hang mine.
Turn around. Your hands are all pretty messy and need something to help clean them off.
I hang mine on the front of the oven because it's right behind. As I'm standing at the sink, if I turn around, it's right there.
Right.
So that's where I hang mine, and I get really, and I'll holler at you if you move my towel off the front of the oven. Luanne didn't understand that, but I keep it there for that reason, so
right.
I can wipe my hands.
Now, you know, I keep one there too, and I use it a lot for just grabbing stuff in and out of the oven as well. Instead of trying to find that pot holder or that. Love, you know, where is it at?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm kind of, the cheese I'm mixing in and the consistency of these potatoes, I'm kind of having to, I guess, fold it in.
Do we need more milk, you think, or not?
What's that?
Think you need more milk?
No, I don't want to really put any more milk in them. They've got a pretty good consistency. They're kind of sticky. They're nice and creamy.
Yep.
But they're just a little bit sticky, which I like to... Makes it a little easier to scoop. Right. When you put them back in the shells, they keep their form a little bit better. They're not as runny.
We're not putting bacon? We're not...
Oh, yeah. We've got bacon ready to go, too.
Do we now?
That's one ingredient I forgot to mention. The secret ingredient.
Is bacon.
Gotta bacon put goes some... with everything, doesn't
and
it?
And you cook this, or did you buy this? You can buy...
No, this is the bacon I already cooked on, and again, I cooked it in the microwave.
And you crumbled it yourself.
Yeah.
So you're not using, of course, I don't know if you know, everybody knows this, you can buy bacon bits in a jar. I mean, you can buy a jar of crumbled up bacon, and that'll work about as well. Not, I mean, it's probably wouldn't be quite as good.
If you get the real ones,
yeah.
I think they're called, don't get me lying. I can't remember the name of them.
Bacos?
There are a couple, there's some imitation bacon bits. And
yeah.
Bacos maybe is the name.
Bacos, that's what I think, yeah.
If there's somebody working for the company, call us, and we'll be happy to.
We'll give you a plug.
Yeah, give us a couple jars, and we'll be happy to use them in all our recipes. Yeah, now the bacon I'm adding, I've also added the cup of chives. Now, chives are nothing more than just green onions. The green part, if you will, or the long, soft end of a green onion. It's not the actual bulb part at the bottom that has the roots on it, but it's just the green part. And those you just slice. You buy them in a bunch at the store. And when I get them home, I wash them, and then, heck, I leave them in the bunch. I don't even take the rubber band off of them.
Yeah.
And just slice them off that way. Usually you just slide the knife down. I use my fingers on top as a guide, but I have my finger up, so the fingertip is actually touching whatever I'm slicing.
Yeah.
And I use my fingernail then as the guide for the knife blade.
Really?
So I don't have any meat hanging out there for it to whack.
For the knife to snag, yeah.
My fingernail.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And I cut these chives down now at about a quarter inch thick or so. Put them in, kind of mix those in. The bacon, I'm crumbling it as we go.
Okay.
And tearing it up and throwing
and
it in.
And maybe eating just a small piece of bacon.
Right.
I would be eating just a little.
Well, we started off with a pound of bacon, and between this and what I had prepped for the brochette, I almost needed another package of bacon.
Really?
Yeah, you sound like you're like me and Skyler, boy. You put some bacon out there, and we're going to be fighting over the last piece of it.
I can't resist bacon. If it's cooked the way I like it, there's nothing I like better. I know it's not good for old guys or anybody, really, but it's... we have run across some, and this, of course, this is not the greatest bacon in the world, but they make pre-cooked bacon in a great big cellophane package, and it's already cooked, and all you do is stick it in the microwave for 30 seconds, and bingo, you got
it's
bacon.
It's ready to go.
Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. Now, I have used I've used that pre-cooked breakfast sausage before.
Yeah.
And I liked it pretty well.
It's not as good as, but if you wanted to, if it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you wanted something hungry, something to eat, you could stick a couple, 3 pieces of that in the microwave and wrap a piece of bread around them, and that's good as it gets for me.
That is the way to go right
now. Bacon wrap around.
Yeah. All right, I'm cleaning my hands off again. We've got everything into the... into the twice-baked potatoes.
All right.
Now what I'm going to be doing. And one thing I did add before we were talking about the bacon, I did go ahead and add the garlic in there as well. Now, one thing you could do on this recipe, once you get these potatoes pulped like they are and you add the cheese, instead of adding the bacon and the green onions, you could add chopped up broccoli.
Well,
broccoli potatoes. You could add, like you were talking about before, having brisket. Some extra leftover brisket, throw that in the food processor, chop it down, throw a little barbecue sauce in there, mix that in with this. It's just so versatile once you get the potatoes baked and get them down to where they're, in the bowl. It's unlimited almost to what you can do.
It's like when you go to a place like Jason's Deli or one of those deli places that serves those great big potatoes. They have everything. I mean, it's just, wild things you can get. All kinds of potatoes.
The sky is almost the limit.
It is.
To what we can, what you can do with them.
And so that's what we're doing here. Whatever.
That's what we're doing.
But this is about the standard, would be chives and green onions and bacon and cheese. That's pretty standard twice baked.
Yeah, garlic, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of recipes I've seen that are just for cheese. Some that are just the potato itself with no cheese, a little butter. And that's something else you can add if you want, is about a half a stick of butter.
I might have done that instead of some of the milk. I might have melted some butter and of course, you know.
Yeah, see, we're a little on the, we're kind of the anti-butter clan here.
Are you now?
Yeah, we don't use a lot of butter. In fact, the butter that we do use, Candace found some. It's made by, I believe, Brumbling Brown, but it's a yogurt butter.
Really?
And I couldn't tell you what it's in it, what it's made of, or anything, but it tastes pretty good. The Candace says it has a little less fat in it than regular butter.
You all have decided that butter is not good for you.
Yeah, we're kind of laying away from butter. In fact, I read a thing on the internet a few months ago about margarine and, you know, the fake butter.
Oh,
it said
man.
That margarine has a melting point of 117 degrees. So, basically, once it gets in your body, and, you know, gets in your intestines or clogs in a little hole somewhere or gets in a little crevice.
It's there.
It's there until your body gets over 117 degrees. And that may not happen.
Well, it's made out of the same stuff that they made your seat out of, your car vinyl out of. It's plastic, basically.
Oh, okay.
It's oil, and it's nasty. I don't. If I eat butter, I eat stick butter.
Right.
I cut me off. I eat stick butter. I don't eat. Louanne eats margarine, but I don't fool with it. I don't like it. I
mean, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I like using stick butter, and plus for me, it's easy to measure if you need, you know, because you know each stick of butter is a half a cup.
Oh, yeah,
something called for a quarter cup, you know, it's about a half a stick or whatever.
And in those tubs, there are so many. I mean, there's probably 50 different kinds.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're getting, you don't know what it is. But butter, at least you know that it, you know, at one time it may have been close to a, to some sort of a, you know, to a milk.
Right.
You hope it was.
Yeah. And what I'm doing here, I've got a wooden spoon. And I'm just scooping out some of this mixture, this potato mixture that we made up.
All right. And putting it back in the shells.
And just sticking it back in these shells.
All right.
Nice. They're almost like little bowls. Now, don't worry. I mean, if you mess up and cut one wrong or you tear it, it's all right. Because this stuff kind of, once you set it in here and in place, it'll kind of adhere to itself.
How are you? Are you just, you don't have anything, I mean, you just lay these on a plate and do this?
I'm putting them back on the baking sheet.
Okay.
The cookie sheet that I use, because actually what we're going to want to do is put them back in the oven just for about 20 minutes or so.
Uncovered?
Yeah, uncovered.
Okay.
And I've got the last shell right here that we're filling up.
And we're going to stick them back in the oven, and then we're going to, we've got the shrimp,
and then after we get done with these potatoes, we're going to check our Jell-O.
Okay.
And then we're on our way to the shrimp.
All right, then.
So I tell you, if we want to take a little break, we can do that. I'll get these finished and in the oven and check the Jell-O. And then we'll be right back.
We could do that. Just take a little short break and be back in just a minute with more of Blind Like Me.
Here's a website our crack research team certifies screen reader friendly. Now with this week's Blindsight, here's Don Shaw.
Hi there. I want to talk a little bit about a website today that I've known about for a while called Blind Mice Mart. This website belongs to Dale Campbell that does the Cooking in the Dark series once a month on the Blind Like Me show. If you want to go and check out a really wide range of products, this would be the site to go to. Dale's got a fantastic array of products there listed on the website that you can purchase. Everything from household type things, everything from things to decorate your house with, to kitchen items, lots of kitchen type things, cooking related type things for the visually impaired. Well, for anyone for that matter. All kinds of products to use outside in your yard, to decorate your yard with, some tools to do things with. Lots of products if you're a collector of things, like keychains, for an example. All kinds of things for, well, whatever you collect. jewelry-type products. Just an outstanding and an unbelievably wide range of products on the site. It's a real easy site to navigate around on. I would give it a 10 for the screen reader friendliness rating. I tell you, if there's anything you're looking for, go and check this site out. Go to www.blindmicemart, all one word, no spaces, .com, and take a look at the site. I think you will really like it. I'm Don Shaw. Until next time, keep on web sighting.
If you found a screen reader friendly website you'd like us to mention, send your email to blindlikeme, all one word, at txucom.net. And join us again next time for Blind Sight.
Well, let's get a quick plug in for our little cruise that we are trying to get together. See, I turned my own microphone off. I can't run this stuff. Anyway, our cruise is a long way off, but these things have to be registered and paid for in part early. That's the way things do. The longer, they're like the airlines, the longer you wait, the closer we get to the cruise, the more the cruise will cost. And so if you're going to go, you need to decide that, make that decision by the 15th of September. That's kind of our deadline. That doesn't mean that if you decided after that you couldn't go, but I think it would probably cost you more. I don't know how much more, because my travel agent doesn't know. These are things that she doesn't decide, so she couldn't give us a figure on that. If you are interested in the cruise, and it comes up February 29th, February 29th, and then we return on the 7th, and we the port of New Orleans is where this cruise is out of, where we depart and where we return. We go to Grand Caymans, Cozumel, and... oh, I never will think of the other place. Not Cuba. Jamaica, maybe. Anyway, there's an entire thing that we can send you telling all about the cruise and when it is and what we plan to do. And if you're a Blind Handyman fan, we're going to do at least two Blind Handyman shows and probably a Blind Like Me show also on the cruise. Come and go with us. You can get a hold of me by blindlikeme@txucom.net, or my email personal address is philparr@txucom.net. Either one of those will get you a hold of me. We'll give you the information on the cruise. Let's all go cruising. What do you think? Huh?
Se você disser que eu desafino amor, saiba que isto em mim provoca.
With more of Blind Like Me, and we're cooking today, cooking in the dark with Dale Campbell. And so far, we've got gelatin, jello salad in the fridge. Actually, you put it in the freezer because it wasn't...
yeah, it wasn't really... when I checked it, it was still kind of liquidy. It wasn't setting yet, so we took it out of the fridge and found a shelf on the freezer, put it in there to get a little quick chill going so we can get it chilled down and hopefully be able to finish it before the show is over.
Which is absolutely okay. Put it in the freezer.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, Jell-O is so forgiving and so easy to do. Yeah. It just sets up really nicely. What we're going to do now is we're ready for our shrimp, everybody, and... I've got the water for the shrimp that we're going to boiling. I've got it in a 12-quart pot, and I've added a bag of shrimp boil. You can get all different types of fish boil, shrimp boil, different things. The brand I prefer to use, I don't even know the name of it. I know it comes in a green and blue box, and that's what I tell them. I want the stuff in the green and blue box. It's good for up to about 4 pounds of shrimp at a time, and it also is all contained in one bag, kind of like a boiling bag rice or something, so all your spices and everything remain in one place. It really makes it easy to clean up, and they don't get all over your shrimp and everything, which is nice. Now, the shrimp I'm adding are, again, it's about 4 pounds of jumbo shrimp that are already headed. We've got those in the pot. Now, the nice thing about shrimp is it takes hardly no time at all for them to cook, be it if you're frying them, if you're cooking them on the grill, or boiling them. And they'll all sink to the bottom. I'm going to cover the pot, put it back on the heat.
You've got it boiling. You've got your boiling bag in there.
Yeah, the seasonings are in it, the shrimp are in it, and it's off.
And
I'm going to set my timer for about 5 minutes.
Okay.
To check it again.
And that pervasive odor should begin to take over your house any minute.
Mm-hmm. You'll know. Neighborhood felines will start coming out, that is for sure.
You'll know what Jimmy Buffett was talking about in Margaritaville when you do this yourself. Because it's when you boil shrimp, there's nothing smells like it. You know the guy's boiling shrimp when he's doing that, you know.
Nothing at all. They do have their own odor.
And it doesn't take long. Don't think you need 10 minutes, about 4 minutes, 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah, that's about it. Nice thing about the shrimp, too, they'll turn, well, which won't help us, our blind listeners, but they turn kind of a pinkish orange when they're done, but at the same time, they start to float. So when you have most of your shrimp, if you put a spoon in or however you want to check it, when you notice most of your shrimp floating at the top, they're done and boiled.
And
so now, for the shrimp brochette, I've headed the shrimp as well, and I've peeled these. Now, what you want to do with these is on your cutting board, lay the shrimp out flat. Is the easiest way I've found to do it. What we want to do is butterfly them. So I take a paring knife and just start across their back, kind of where their vein was at. You can kind of feel a little indention there and just kind of slice down into the shrimp. You don't want to cut him all the way through. You just want to butterfly him open a little bit so that you can add a piece of jalapeno and also a little cheese. What I used was sharp cheddar cheese, and I bought a small block of it, like a 12-ounce block, and I used my vegetable peeler, and on the small end, I just cut strips off with the vegetable peeler.
Okay.
It made them nice and thin, and I used two of them doubled up to put in the shrimp. Sometimes with cheese, if you cut it too thick, it gets real crumbly. It doesn't bend, or it's not real flexible to fit down in these shrimp. The jalapenos I used were fresh jalapenos. I took it and just sliced it open. And then I took it to the sink and cut out the seeds and kind of scraped the membrane down a little bit so they were not as hot. So you get more of the jalapeno flavor without a lot of the heat.
Okay,
and
so
if you like them hot, just take the seeds out and don't touch the membrane, and they'll be nice and fiery for you.
Okay, you bought jalapenos unsliced.
Yeah, unsliced fresh jalapenos right out of the produce department.
Okay.
You can get them also. They do sell them canned. And, you know, where they're pickled.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't do that was just because I didn't need so many of them.
Well, and they also...
buy a small enough can.
You can also buy them already sliced.
Right. Now, the slices I used, instead of slicing them across the jalapeno, I sliced these lengthwise.
Okay.
So they would be the same. They're kind of, I guess, instead of slicing them, it's called julienned, when you cut them long ways, like just thin strips.
So that they would go fit down in your shrimp.
So they would fit down the length of the shrimp.
Okay.
Right. Each half of the jalapeno, after I ended up scraping the membrane, I just kind of flattened it out and then just cut my strips down about an eighth to a quarter inch wide.
Uh-huh.
Now, so what we've got the shrimp butterflied and open.
All right.
You can lay your little thin slices of cheese inside your butterfly, then lay the jalapeno across the top of that, and then the tricky part starts is wrapping it with a piece of bacon.
Yeah.
What I found is I hold it to where the hand that's free, if I'm left-handed, so I hold it in the right, my right hand with the head of the shrimp towards my right hand, lay this bacon around the tail, and flip the bacon up underneath him, around him, so that I'm holding it kind of with my right hand, you know, as I'm holding the shrimp. That leaves my left hand free just to wrap it all the way up the body of the shrimp. I get a couple wraps in, and then it kind of wraps around the bottom of the bacon, holds it in place, then I'm able to readjust and finish, you know, basically hold the shrimp with my left hand and finish wrapping him up.
Now, you're wrapping them from top to bottom as opposed to around the shrimp.
No, actually, I'm wrapping them around the shrimp.
Okay.
Kind of in a spiral formation.
You had me confused there.
Okay, yeah. I start at the tail and just wrap it around in a spiral formation all the way to the head of the shrimp. And then stick a toothpick in it to hold the bacon in place.
And if you're lucky, you can get the toothpick through both ends of the bacon. Sometimes you can.
Well, and actually, once you, the bottom end, the end you start at, if you wrap the bacon around, you know, kind of
it'll hold
it
itself,
right,
yeah.
It'll hold itself in place.
Yeah.
So then you just, you know, from there, you're good to go. Once you get those done that way. And again, the jalapeno is optional, but real brochettes down here in Texas are made with the jalapeno in there.
Yes, they are.
Got to have a little fire in it. Now, once those are wrapped up, now I did have some extra shrimp left that I took to grill, and grilling them is so easy. Basically, you take a bamboo skewer, stick your shrimp on it, just like you were going to be making a shish kebab,
yeah.
And you're good to go. From there, you can add, if you want to, sprinkle them with lemon pepper. That's a great idea. Sprinkle them with some Tony's. A little Cajun seasoning is what Tony's is.
Tony Chachere's is what he's talking about.
And or just if you just want to use salt and pepper, if you want to use a little garlic butter on them, however you want to do them, if you just want to grill them plain, they're all delicious.
And anything you put lemon pepper on is going to be good. I love lemon pepper.
Yeah. That lemon pepper that comes, you know, already ready to go is probably one of our favorites here.
It just shakes right out. And it's these shrimp embers, now what are we going to do with them after we get them wrapped?
After I get them wrapped, I've got them on a plate. You know, once I get them all wrapped, ready to go here, I've got a George Foreman grill, which, again, if nobody out there has a George Foreman, you need to invest in one. These little grills are fantastic. They cook just wonderfully. Candace for, by the chicken on them. She won't have chicken any other way.
For blind people, they are a wonderful piece of equipment because while they don't talk to you, and I don't know which one you have. They make several models.
Right.
But you can, the big one I have, when you plug it in, you push, you can hear it count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Every time you push this thing, it's going to count a minute. So you push it about 5 times, and then you push the start button, and it's going to start.
Right.
And so you set a timer for 5 minutes, and you know that it dings when the 5 minutes is up.
Yeah, and you know, the other nice thing on George is he doesn't turn off when he's done. He just dings to let you know, hey, we're done.
And so then it's done, it's heated, and whatever you put on, like if you buy a chicken breast and put on there and do it about 9 minutes, it cooks both sides, and it's, believe me, it'll knock you out.
Yeah. In fact, we just started, I'm proud to say, we just started carrying those at Blind Mice with the timer on them.
George Foreman grill?
George Foreman.
With the timer.
In fact, I've got one of those on order with a couple other little gadgets that will be getting on the show here.
And
what I've done, I've laid my brochettes out on the George. I've got the little one.
Okay.
Close the lid on him and mentally put the timer on about 5 to 6 minutes. And that'll be it for them.
Now, this little one doesn't have a timer.
No, this little one doesn't have a timer.
Okay.
I've had him, probably about, he was like one of the original ones.
I have one of those, too. It only holds about 2 small hamburger patties.
Right.
But it's for a single person. I've got the big one with the timer, and then we got a little one, I think, for a birthday or something not long ago.
Right.
It's handy.
They are even great. Another thing that's awesome on it, here we're getting ahead of ourselves, but is portobellos.
I haven't
done
that.
If you've ever put a portobello mushroom on there, just the head, you know, they're great big mushrooms.
Yeah.
Put a little Italian dressing on each side, throw it on the grill, and mercy, you may swear off red meat altogether.
Well, I've got a dysfunctional family because my wife doesn't eat mushrooms.
Wow.
So
we might have to flip one in on it. She may not know what's there.
That's genetic. I keep telling her it's a defect.
Right, right.
But she also doesn't eat shrimp, so I don't understand why did I marry her anyway?
Well, I tell you, more for you, huh?
I guess so. She will cook me shrimp, though.
Oh, that's great.
But all right, so we're going to do these on the George Foreman.
Yeah, we've got them. In fact, they're on the Foreman right now, just sizzling away. So we've got the timer set. We've got about 5 minutes left on those.
What length of time?
Again, real quick, while those are going.
What length of time on this on the shrimp brochets do you do?
I usually do them for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then I'll check them.
Now, if you didn't have a George Foreman grill, you could do these in the oven very nicely.
Sure could.
Would you do them up by the broiler and turn them over?
Yeah, I would suggest putting your broiler on.
Yeah.
And definitely boiling them. You know, if you've got a gas stove, you've got the broiler already set up. And they won't take as long in a broiler. If you are going to boil them in the oven, it might be a good idea to pre-cook your bacon a little bit. Maybe if you're going to cook it in the microwave, maybe cook it for about a quarter of the time that it would take to cook it all the way through.
Okay.
Just to make sure that you get it. You know, it's not any raw places or any pieces of it that are raw. You could also take these if you wanted to, instead of putting toothpicks through them as you build them, put them on these skewers again and let the skewer hold the bacon in place and put five or six of them together and then put them on, you know, your big grill if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, you could even do them outside on charcoal if you
sure could.
But
sure
doing
could.
Them with the broiler, what you don't realize is that if you use if I was going to do those, I would probably use one of those long deep dishes.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Everybody in the world's got one. It's mommy used to call them a casserole dish.
Right.
And now they're going to reflect heat back, so you don't have to turn those over. You just do them, and both sides will cook that way.
Yeah.
By the broiler.
Especially with that broiler, because it's
sure
such a
will.
High heat. You know, in fact, you could even take them, and instead of laying them on their sides like these, I laid on their sides, just lay them in there standing up.
Sure.
You know, and what's nice is once they start cooking and that bacon starts cooking, it'll cook together. So you won't have to take them out. So I'll tell you what we're going to do right now. This we're going to make some of my mom's secret recipe red sauce.
Okay.
And this goes out to Mr. Don Shaw.
All right,
I think
Donald.
He was ready when we had the blind weekend. I think he was ready to eat the red sauce just by itself. The secret ingredients are, there's three. There is a jar of chili sauce, which is bought at the grocery store. It's usually sold where the ketchups and mustard and everything are at. It comes in like an octagonal jar, and it's, I believe, made by Heinz. But it's about a 12-ounce jar of it. Take it out, open it, dump it in a bowl. Add to that, you want to add horseradish, and you need to add it to your taste. We like it a little bit hotter, so I usually start off with about 2 tablespoons of horseradish. If you want to work your way up, put in about a teaspoon, mix it all up, stir it all up, taste it. If you want it a little bit hotter, put a little more horseradish in, just until you get to the point where it fits your taste buds. And also you want to add a little Worcestershire sauce, Worcestershire sauce. And, again, add this to your taste.
But the basic,
I usually add about a quarter cup.
The basic ingredient is this chili sauce.
Chili sauce.
Do not accept anything else.
If you can't find chili sauce, you can use just regular ketchup.
Yeah, but chili sauce is what you want.
The chili sauce has got a little extra bite to it, a little extra flavor that the ketchup doesn't have.
Yeah.
But, folks, that's all there is to this red sauce. And once you make it, people will be lining up to have it for many years in the future. They won't care about the shrimp, they'll just want the red sauce.
Yeah.
And again, that's just a jar of the chili sauce, horseradish to taste. And again, I used about 2 tablespoons to a full jar and about a quarter cup of Worcestershire sauce. And that's all there is to it. Stir it all up, and then after you get it mixed up, just put it in the fridge to chill until your shrimp are ready.
Now, this is for the boiled shrimp.
This is for boiled shrimp or fried shrimp. Basically, it's just a red sauce.
Yeah.
Like you would get maybe at Red Lobster or something. They've got tartar sauce and cocktail sauce, or red sauce, they call it.
Yeah, this would even be good for Dorito chips. Dorito chips for big dipping chips. It'd be delicious just to eat with chips.
Yeah, it really would. In fact, we had a post, Mr. Shaw posted a like an avocado queso dip.
Yeah.
To the list that had my mouth water, and I was like, it was 10 o'clock at night when I read it, and I was seriously thinking about putting the harness on Kelsey and going to get some avocados to make that thing up.
We're going to get some complaints about everybody, because we're of the same thinking. We like everything hot.
Yeah.
Spicy side, and a lot of people don't, so I guess if you didn't want this quite so hot, you would just use less horseradish and less, just less of everything.
Yeah, just a little bit less. If you don't like, you know, you need a little bit of horseradish in it to get the flavor, I think.
Yeah.
But again, if you don't, I mean, start off with half a teaspoon if you're not a big horseradish fan.
Stir it up.
When you mix it all up in there, it really gives it a very good, very unique flavor.
Stir it up, stick your finger in it, see what you think, you know, and taste it. And so you do these things to taste.
Yeah, now I've just checked the shrimp on the George. They're getting there. They need a couple more minutes. They're looking good. I've got the other shrimp here on the skewers ready to go. when these brochettes are done. That's why I wish, if I had that big George, we'd be cooking.
But you got one of those ordered.
But he's on order. He's coming.
Yeah, if you're a blind person cooking at home, you need a George Foreman grill. They speed up things. They're just so neat. And if you clean them up at the right time, and the right time is to clean them is when they're, as they're cooling, they get to a certain temperature when you can handle it. You clean it off then.
Right.
Don't let it get cold. If you let it get cold, you can always heat it back up and clean it. But they clean very easily while they're warm.
Yeah. And you know what's really great is the way they're kind of sloped, you know, from back to front.
Yeah.
So when you do cook hamburgers, or you cook chicken or turkey or whatever you cook on it, ham, breakfast sausage, the grease kind of drains down in these grooves and
little,
runs
yeah.
to the front and gets caught in this grease tray that's just a little plastic tray. It catches all the grease. So, I mean, your food is even more healthier as it cooks in there. It's not stewing in its own juices. So.
And it comes with a little tray to catch the grease. It comes with an interesting-looking little cleaning tool, and you'll see its use when you get it, how to scrape things off, how to clean with it. It's a very unique thing. If you don't have one, I guess this is, since we're on a blind network, everybody's, you need one.
Yeah. And again, go to blindmysmart.com.
And buy yourself one.
Yeah, put in the word blind in the search engine, and everything that's blind friendly or made with the blind in mind product will come up, and you can search through and look. Don't forget to use the keyword or the checkout. When you check out, there's a coupon area. Put in there coupon code COOKING, COOKING, and you'll get another 5% discount off all your purchases.
What a deal.
So you cannot lose. But we've gone through, and a lot of the items we've put on there are ones that we believe in, that we've worked with and tested, because, you know this as well as I do, Phil. There's a lot of gadgets out there that just aren't that useful.
That don't work. They're
a pain in the rear than they are very, you know, helpful to use. So if we can't use it and make it work, or we don't like it, it's not going to be sold.
We are down to a little over 3 minutes. You want it? Let's go over what we've done here today.
All right. The meal today consisted of shrimp, both boiled and George Foreman, with little shrimp brochettes and some grilled shrimp. We've also done a twice baked potato, as well as a Jell-O salad, which is still Jell-O-ing. What we'll need to do to the Jell-O salad, we've got still got the Jell-O in the refrigerator, or in the freezer, actually, chilling. What we'll be adding to it when it comes out is 3 cups, that's 12 ounces, of Cool Whip. We'll add that in, and then we just simply mix it or whip it, beat it with the mixer. It makes it real light and real fluffy. It'll almost feel like foam in the bowl after you whip it. Then after you whip it, put it back in the refrigerator to chill for about another 30 minutes to an hour, or until dinner time comes. If you're cooking everything ahead of time, you will want to probably cover the Jell-O so it doesn't get that hard kind of film on top of it. The boiled shrimp that we did was basically 4 pounds of headed.
What happened?
You there?
I thought I lost you there for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, we've got 4 pounds of headed shrimp. Now, after the shrimp are boiled, I just checked them. They are done. I'm going to let them cool for a second, and then I'm going to drain them.
All right.
Now you can go do 2 things. One, you can serve them hot just as they are, dump them in a bowl, put them on the table with the red sauce, and let everybody peel them and enjoy. Or you can take them, put them in a bowl like we did, and refrigerate them, freeze them, chill them, or just refrigerate them overnight to where they're cold. That's the one thing that's great with boiled shrimp. They're great hot. They're even better cold.
Really?
And then the shrimp brochettes, they're almost done. They'll be ready to be pulled off. And just simply watch out for the toothpicks when you eat those. The grilled shrimp that's on there are, they won't take nearly as, not as much time as the brochettes because of the bacon. But they're all on skewers. One of the skewers I even made with some of the leftover jalapeno. So it's got jalapeno between the shrimp to put a little flavor on those. One of them I've got lemon pepper on. The other one I sprinkled with some Tony's Cajun seasoning.
Well, that's going to do it for Cooking in the Dark, and we'll see you in about a month with more of that. Thank you, Dale Campbell. And we'll talk to you later next weekend for more Blind Like Me. Thanks for listening.